Retired U.S. General Jay Garner arrived in Baghdad today. He says he plans to focus on getting city services running again. He's also involved in preparations for a second Iraqi leadership meeting later this week. Over the weekend, the first aid shipment arrived in the Iraqi capital, and U.S. Marines left Baghdad, turning over posts in the eastern part of the city to the U.S. Army. Elsewhere, some Iraqi officials have been captured or surrendered, including a top scientist and Saddam Hussein's son-in-law. NPR's Jennifer Ludden joins me now. Good morning.
Good morning.
How important is the seizure of Saddam's son-in-law, and who else is in custody?
Well, his son-in-law is Jamal Mustafa Abdullah Sultan al-Tikriti. He is married to Saddam Hussein's youngest daughter, Hala, though so far no word on her whereabouts. He was the number two in the tribal affairs office. Apparently, he left Syria with one of Saddam Hussein's top bodyguards, who's also in custody, and apparently headed up Iraqi intelligence during the recent war, so there could be a lot of key information. They apparently surrendered to the opposition group, the Iraqi National Congress, and we don't know why, but a spokesman for the INC said there were some negotiations. U.S. Central Command is also saying that they have captured the Minister of Higher Education and Scientific Research, who's believed to have information on Iraqi nuclear programs. And meanwhile, the New York Times is reporting on its website that one scientist who claims to have been involved for a decade in the biological chemical weapons program is telling American military officials that Iraq destroyed some of its chemical and biological weapons just days before the war. He apparently could be a goldmine of information. He allegedly is leading officials to supplies that he'd buried, and he claims that Iraq passed on information on unconventional warfare to Syria starting in the mid-90s.
The U.S. military has not said how long it plans to remain in Iraq, but others put out their opinion over the weekend.
They did. First, we heard Ahmed Shalabi, the head of the Iraqi National Congress, this pro-American opposition leader, told ABC News he thinks the U.S. military should stay until democratic elections can be held, and he said that, in his guesstimate, was at least 2 years away. Also, Senator Richard Lugar, who's the chair of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, criticized the U.S. for not planning well enough for the post-war period. He said there was this damaged gap left behind, and he predicted it could be at least 5 years before the U.S. could create a functioning democracy. Obviously, a lot's going to depend on the Iraqi interim authority that the U.S. is trying to help usher along, and there are preparations going on now for a second meeting, possibly at the end of this week. There's also some Shiite holy days in the middle of this week, and we've already heard calls for more political demonstrations, possibly more anti-American protests like those we saw last week.
There had been some harsh words from the Bush administration concerning Syria, and then yesterday the president himself seemed to soften the rhetoric. What happened?
Well, there did seem to be a big turnaround in this war of words. Two U.S. congressmen went to Damascus and met with Bashar Assad, Nick Rahal from West Virginia and Daryl Issa from California. They say that Bashar Assad, the Syrian president, promised them he would not give asylum to people wanted for war crimes. They say he's closed the border, and they described him as eager to please the U.S., so that could signal part of the change in rhetoric.
And a longtime Iraqi exile has named himself Major of Baghdad.
Mohammed Mohsen al-Zubaydi, he's also associated with the Iraqi National Congress, claims he's mayor based on an election by local civic leaders, but no one else seems to know much about that election. He's out there currying favor and making promises, but it's not clear how many Iraqis recognize him or whether the U.S. civil administrators are going to recognize him.
NPR's Jennifer Ludden.